From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. On January 1st, the worldwide garment and textile industry will be thrown wide open. That's when quotas restricting how much Europe and North America can buy from any given country will expire. China and India are expected to grab a much bigger share of the international market, and some of the world's poorest countries, now heavily dependent on the garment trade, may suffer. Yesterday, we heard from China, which is expected to be a winner in this realignment. Today, NPR's Michael Sullivan takes us to a country that could be on the losing end, the Southeast Asian nation of Cambodia.
10 years ago, Cambodia had no garment industry. 10 years ago, Cambodia didn't have much industry at all. Decades of civil war and the infamous Khmer Rouge helped see to that. Today, the country's garment industry is worth more than $1.6 billion a year.
It's everything. The industry employed 260,000-270,000 workers. It feeds about 1 million people, and it's about 85% to 90% of our total export.
Sok Sapana is Secretary of State in Cambodia's Ministry of Commerce.
Without, I think it'd be very difficult to generate enough GDP growth because that's the main source of revenue and employment. Our agriculture is lagging way behind, and our tourism is doing good, but not adequate.
This is the Sabrina Garment Factory on the outskirts of the capital, Phnom Penh. It is a brightly lighted, clean and efficient-looking workplace. More than 600 young women sit in front of sewing machines in rows 20 deep, assembling Nike sportswear for export to the U.S. 22-year-old Impala, stitching an elastic strap onto a sports bra, has been working here for 2 years.
Nobody else in my family works. My mother used to be a teacher, but then she died. So I'm the only one working. The money I earn here supports my brothers, my sisters, and me. Without it, I don't know what we will do.
Most workers in factories like this one are women, who make between $50 and $70 a month plus overtime. A decent wage in a country where per capita income is just $320 a year. Ken Liu is the Secretary General of the Garment Manufacturers Association of Cambodia. He says one way the government is trying to keep business in the country is by marketing Cambodia as a labor-friendly environment.
If a buyer like Gap or Nike or Levi's, for that matter, source in Cambodia, they are assured that it doesn't come from a sweatshop, that the workers are treated properly. As such, they are able to answer to their consumers and also to their shareholders, which increasingly, I think, is demanding this sort of ethical sourcing.
The International Labour Organization has set up shop in Cambodia to help ensure fair labour standards. And a recent World Bank study of companies buying garments here suggests the ethical sourcing strategy could work. Nearly half the companies surveyed said they intend to maintain or even increase orders in the country after quotas expire on January 1st. Cambodia has also won duty-free status for its garments from the European Union and Canada next year. It's hoping to ink a similar agreement with the U.S. as well. All of this makes Commerce Secretary Sok Sapana confident Cambodia can compete for now.
We believe that we will continue to have the order from this company because of this social compliance aspect. But my worry is that 2008, when the China quota will be completely lifted, that's when we really have to get, you know, everything all in sync.
But some critics warn getting everything in sync will be difficult, given the level of corruption in the country's bureaucracy.
It's everywhere. It's literally everywhere.
The garment manufacturer's Ken Liu says the greatest threat to the survival of Cambodia's garment industry isn't China, it's government corruption, which threatens to undermine any advantages Cambodia might enjoy.
Every government official that we meet is asking for money. If it's an identified few, then it would, you know, be a simple case of replacing them. However, it's not the case in Cambodia. It's the whole system is corrupted.
If the problem isn't dealt with soon, Liu says, manufacturers will start to leave. He says as much as one-third of the workforce could be out of work by this time next year. Liu says he believes there is political will to address the issue at the top, but he questions whether that's enough to bring change. Commerce Secretary Sok Sapana agrees corruption is a problem, but urges patience.
For a transition economy like Cambodia, one cannot, eradicate completely. We're talking about reduction, but unless this issue is tackled in a holistic manner, unless the GDP growth is going up, unless the salary of the civil servant is going up, it'd be very difficult, no matter how much we try.
Almost everyone agrees that the social consequences of failure could be severe. In the absence of the relatively well-paying jobs that help support their families back in the villages, many of these women, says Secretary of Commerce Sapana, may have no choice but to turn to prostitution.
And you can see the snowballing effect. Once they turn to prostitution, the HIV rate is going up. So we see the risk. And that's why we try everything we can, I tell you, at our level. Not everybody is on the same frequency, but at least at our level, at our policy level, we try very hard.
Cambodia's piece of the global garment market is a small one, less than 1% overall. But in this impoverished country of 13 million people, one still heavily dependent on foreign aid, even a little bit goes a long way. If the government doesn't try harder, critics say, to rein in corruption, it will only have itself, not competition from other countries, to blame if Cambodia's garment industry falters or dies altogether. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Phnom Penh.
You can hear the first part of this series from China at our website, npr.org.